A lot of talk about new. A lot of talk about new things, newness. Wonder why. I love New Year. I really, really, really do. Because we get it, you know, just like Christmas. I feel like during Christmas time, there's this sort of wall or veil between our natural selves and our spiritual selves, that even if somebody's not a church-going person around Christmas time, that veil starts to get a little bit thinner, a little bit thinner, a little bit thinner. They're surrounded by, you know, by scripture. They're surrounded by just the presence of the Lord as people are more focused upon Him. And there's an openness to things of the Spirit that isn't always there all year long. And I love New Year because we're under this impression that time is this big circle, and it gives us an opportunity here to say, okay, well, that cycle's come to an end. We counted down those 12 months, and now is a good time for me to start something brand new. Now, we have this line of demarcation that we put between the past and the future, and coming right around the 1st of January, we all get geared up for, you know what? I think I'm going to lift my eyes up and see what else is out there. We start becoming possibility thinkers and possibility people. We start being expecting people at the beginning of a year. So what I feel like God is wanting me to share this morning is just intended to fuel that fire that I think is already on so many of us. We're looking ahead. We're not looking to the past. We're looking ahead. On First Friday, on the 4th, it was awesome. Anybody, who was here for First Friday? Woo! Yeah, that, I guess that's the thing. If you were here for First Friday, you have to go woo. There it is. It's almost like a sound version of whack-a-mole. You know, it's like there's all these things popping up all the woo 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 woo. I'm trying to catch him. But First Friday was amazing. If you weren't able to make it for First Friday, you know, we changed up the gathering from a weekly worship event to something that's just more specific, more structured, a little bit more focused. I know that's weird around here. It's more structured, but still it worked. It was good. But we, you know, we worship. We had a time of declaration and declarative prayer, and then we went over into the fellowship hall and we had some amazing desserts. Sharon, thank you for the desserts you made. Yeah, right. Woo! That was a lot. Woo! And for everybody who brought desserts along, I greatly appreciated it because I ate, I sampled from them all, and it was nice. What we're going to do here, I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians today. I'm going to be in the same scripture basically that we were in on Friday. All right, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But guys, can we project just verse 17 right here at the start? 2 Corinthians 5:17. And this is a great declaration. And we're in the New King James today, which is also weird for me because it's a time for new. I'm normally in the easy-to-read version, but today I figured I'd step up my game. There's a therefore and a behold, which you don't find in the easy-to-read version. So, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Can we make this just a little bit interactive this morning and repeat this after me? All things have become new. Let's declare it like we mean it, like it's a real thing, and like God said that that's something you should declare. All right? All things have become new. Today, I declare that old things have passed away. And all things have become new because I'm in Christ. Amen. All right, that's a good declaration to start with. Now, here's a little bit more of an interactive kind of thing. I know we stand up during worship. We have people come up to the front. There's so much moving around, you know, during church and everything. But here's what I'd like for you to do. If you've got a notebook, if you've got your Bible, if you've got whatever it is that you've got, just set it to the side for just a second. I'm going to do something that really frightens introverts. But it's okay. You're going to be all right. I want, if you're an introvert, I know this is weird, raise your hand, and if you're another introvert, find another introvert, and then you can have safety in numbers. If you're an extrovert, you don't even care. You're like, woo, I'm going to find an introvert because they need me. All right, so here's what we're going to do. it's good to pray, right? We can all agree upon that. It's good to pray. It's good, like we did during worship, to cover the year that's coming up in prayer, to cover the year that's coming up in worship, to make a declaration and a stand now that this year, this is going to happen. This year, all things have become new. So let's make a stand and do that now. Actually, if you could stand up and find, you don't have to be the person right next to you, I don't care. Find somebody, find a person or two. Find a person or two. Everybody in here is great and relatively safe. Find a person or two. And here's what I want for us to do. I want for us to pray. We're going to pray, but we're going to pray very specific things, all right? So right now, in your groups of two or three, well, first of all, if you don't know each other, like, you should say your name and, like, meet each other. That would be helpful, right? Good. Hi, how are you? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something very similar to what we did on Friday night. We're going to pray this. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. In your small group, I want you to pray that right now over this city that we live in, over Austin. Can we do that? Spend just a minute praying over the city. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. However that manifests in your group, let's pray that now. Go. All right, take a few more seconds here. We're declaring old things passed away, and all things have become new in the city of Austin. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Good. And now let's make a transition into the body of Christ in Austin. The body of Christ in Austin. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters. Pray for the unity of the body. Pray for the family. Let's release you to do that now. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. All right, and now what we're going to do is we're going to make it real specific. Let's narrow it down. Let's declare this over this house, over this body. Let's pray for our church, y'all. Let's pray for Austin Cathedral. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Thank you, Father, for revealing your heart to us. Let's bless the house. And now let's transition into, let's look at the people in your group and just declare this word over them, that old things have passed away, all things have become new. They are in Christ and all things are new things. Let's just prophesy into their year this word. Ah, yeah. And let's take just a few more moments just to bring it to a close. Bless the people in your group. Give them a hug if that seems like a thing to do. Give them a high five if you feel weird about hugging them. Oh, my goodness. Oh. All right. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. All things have become new. And I declare that over you. I declare that over this upcoming year for you. I declare a new spirit and a new fire. I declare a new perspective, a new vision. I declare new eyes, new ears, new heart. A newness in your life, a freshness in your life. I declare that the Lord is at work and he will accomplish everything that he has begun in your life. I declare that over you. I declare it over you. Old things have passed away and behold, look at it, see it, envision it, take it in. All things have become new. All things have become new. Amen. Amen. Woo! So if you are, man, I don't know about y'all, but that felt real good. That felt real good. And there was an anointing in this room as everybody was praying, because we're not just, okay, so last week, it helps to listen to the message every now and then. Because, I mean, just full disclosure, because last week, when Pastor was speaking, he said a lot of things that I don't remember. Full disclosure. I took notes. But even, you know, you take notes and you can only take notes in part. We hear in part, we see in part, we take notes in part, right? That's why we have live stream and YouTube and all that kind of stuff, so we can go back if we want. But he said something that I know he said before. I've heard him say it before a bunch of times, but he said it last week, and it got me. You know how that happens sometimes? Like somebody will say something, and you know they've said it before. You know that's been like kind of their thing, and then they say it one time, and it's like the word hits the spirit, and it hits your situation, and it hits your awareness all at the same time, and it's like this perfect storm of God was trying to speak that to you, right? So this is what he said, and this is why we're doing this today. He said, and you've heard this before, he said, it's not enough just to speak the word. We have to become the word. Everybody remember him saying that last week? Yeah, if you don't, it's okay, because there are a bunch of things you remember about last week that I don't. So that's fine. But that's the one thing that just hit me. It's not enough just to speak the word. We have to become the word. It was Gordon Fee, the theologian Gordon Fee, said, if you show me a church's songbook and I'll show you their doctrine, right? Show me the things that they're singing, and I'll show you what they believe. And this, to me, hit me like, show me somebody's life and I'll show you their doctrine. Show me someone's daily actions. Show me what people do when they're in reaction with difficult people. Show me what people do when there's triumphs or there's trials and they need to tap into something that's beyond themselves, and I'll tell you what their doctrine is. Because when people are living out the things that they speak, there's a power to it. There's a synergy that magnifies the impact of the word, right? So pastor talks a lot about becoming the word. And so I wanted to just hit on that just a little bit, okay? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. We're in 16 through 21 is where we're going to stick. So we're in verse 16 right now. Therefore, from now on, I'm just going to read the whole thing and then I'll talk a little bit. I'm better off if I just read scripture and talk less off my head. So we're going to do that because I know this works. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. Therefore, from now on, I will read it dramatically though, just so you know. From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who's reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their trespasses to them. And he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Oh my goodness. That's rich. I mean, we could stop there, but I'm not gonna, but we could, right? That'd be enough. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. When pastor spoke about it's not enough to speak the word, we have to become the word, my first thought was, well, okay, what does that mean? I start trying to reason some things out and think about some stuff and connect some pieces and put some stuff together. I said, okay, well, Jesus is the word. So are we to become Jesus? Because I know indirectly, yeah, kind of, but directly, no, because that job's already taken. So there's already a Jesus. I can't be Jesus, but indirectly I could be Jesus. And then it just, the hamster wheel just started going and going and going. And then thankfully I wound up here, right? So it's, yeah, right, good. It's not enough just to speak the word. We need to become the word. So what is the word that we're becoming? Well, when I look at verse 18, all things are of God. For those who are in Christ, all things now are of God. All things. We give ourselves over to him. He has He's put everything from the past aside. He's given us a new heart, a new spirit. It's his life living through us. So all things are now of him. All things. We're in Christ, so all things are of him. And what he did is he reconciled himself through Jesus Christ to the world. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So, by and large, first and foremost, what I'm going to talk about today is becoming this word, becoming reconciliation, becoming the bridge that connects the people who don't know him to the God that really loves them. And whenever possible, use words. You know, you don't need to use words in order to be that bridge. Whew, man. Okay. So it's really, it's important for us to remember that when we talk about reconciling things, we're kind of talking about a ledger. You know, we're talking about a book. We're talking about credits and debits. We're talking about deficits and benefits. We're talking about takeaways and add twos. It's kind of a spiritual bank account, right? So God has reconciled himself to us in Jesus, in the person of Jesus and in the spirit of Jesus. God saw a lot of deficits in our existence, in our lives. He saw a lot of ways that we had fallen short. He saw a lot of things that we really needed some assistance with. And so he took a look at the deficits. He took a look at the debits. He took a look at the deficiencies. And he sent Jesus to be the ultimate source of credits. And he made all those things balance out. He made all those things come out even. Right? So what's really, it was great for me to once again have this revelation that, behold, oh wait, let's go back to 16. All things, that's no longer, no, 17, I'm sorry. There it is. Old things have passed away. I love that that's past tense. I love that that's not a continuing progression of old things passing away. Like I have to keep waiting for God to really take care of all those old things. And I know I'm on a 15-year plan or I'm on a 30-year mortgage with my sins or whatever. And eventually I'll live long enough and I'll pay all of this down that I can't wait. We're about in February. We're going to get one of our cars paid off. Next month, one of our cars, we're going to make the final payment, and it's such an awesome feeling to know that that money now has other places to go. But still, it's nice to see the end of something, right? What I love, the revelation that I once again got, I'm so thankful when God reminds me of this, is that we're not waiting for the old things to pass away. We're not waiting on God anyway. For the old things to pass away. We're not waiting on God for everything to become new. If anything, we're waiting on us. We're waiting on us. Old things have passed away already. All things have become new for us in Christ. And that the mercies of God are new when? Every morning, every single day. I know that we love to wait 12 months. I know that we love to wait till January 1st to get a gym membership and to make our plans for the future. But God is saying, you don't have to wait till January 1st. January 6th is just as good. February 14th is also a really sweet day to do that. November 23rd is awesome. Why don't you make every day is what he's telling us. Old things have already passed away. You don't need to wait and be grandfathered into the new thing. God said, no, I've already taken this balance sheet that was just, you had a lot of red on your ledger. And I've already taken that and covered it all so that there's never any need to hang on to the old thing when I'm trying to move you into the new. There's never any need. Oh, man. That's freeing, or at least it should be. It should be liberating for all of us to know, And also maybe depending on how we're looking, it might be a blow to our self-esteem, but it should be liberating to know that honestly, the only hang up waiting on us going into the new is us. The only thing holding me back from doing and moving forward in God, what God wants to do in my life, is that I'm just connected to things that I should have let go of long time ago. I get a hold on stuff, and that stuff got a hold on me, and I can't break that chain. If I could, I'd move forward. But how do we break that chain? We declare this. We declare this. I am in Christ. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things already have become new. And since they've already become new, since I already have those things, I'm just going to go ahead and take them now. I'm going to collect on that right now. And we can do that every single morning. The mercies and the blessings of God are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. That's a good song. Whoo, my goodness. All right. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So I want to take a look really quickly at verse 16, because verse 16 is so important. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. A key part of stepping in, realizing that the old things really have passed away. They're dead. They're gone. The past is in your past. The future's here. We have today. That's why it's the present. And that night, it's a gift. I could have said that better, you know? But a key part of recognizing that, oh, I can let those things go, and I can take hold of the new thing, and I can embrace what God has for me right now, and I don't have to live in the past, is it has to do with our perception. Dale Gentry is going to be speaking next week. He's not here this morning. He's got a declaration for 2019 that he's actually giving on the radio right now. But I love how Dale opens up services. Every single service.
Put your hands on your eyes. And Lord, say, open my eyes, open my spiritual eyes. I can see the things you're showing. Yeah, I can't do Dale. No, I can't do it. But he goes through that process. Lord, open up my eyes. Lord, open up my ears, my spiritual ears, so I can hear everything that you have, that you're trying to say to me. God, open up my mouth that I can declare your word. Open up my heart that it would beat with your heart, right? So the key to really walking in this is changing our perception of the world. I don't know about you, but sometimes my perception of the world is a little bit off because I'm viewing the world as I view the world instead of as God views the world. I'm viewing people, including myself, how I view people instead of how God views people, right? It says, if anyone is in Christ, verse 16, therefore from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. That's even ourselves. We regard no one according to the flesh, even ourselves. It says just a little bit further on that God reconciled himself to us, not imputing our trespasses to us. Why do we think that works, by the way? I mean, as a church and as people, you know, historically, we've gone through the church, big global, has gone through seasons where we thought, man, that's going to be a really good idea to remind people how bad they are. That'll really make them run to God. That's going to be great. If I can just scare enough people into the punishment for how bad they are, they'll come running to God. You know, or later on, a different version of it, if I can just make people feel embarrassed enough about the things that they do, if I can make them feel guilty enough, then they'll go running to God. And those things don't work, not in a lasting way. Because if I come to God out of fear, then I'm always looking over my shoulder because he's the one who's going to punish me. If I come to God out of guilt, then I'm always looking over my shoulder because I've still got things I haven't dealt with and I know he's watching. And I've never have this open, honest relationship with him. That's why Jesus had to come in this new covenant of grace where he said, I will become all of this for you. I will balance out this ledger sheet. You know what? You and God, you're okay because of me. And what he really wants is just to know you. And he wants you to know him, right? But we go through life at times, I know I have, and I forget that if I'm in Christ, not only do I not see other people according to the flesh, but I shouldn't see myself according to the flesh either. I shouldn't treat myself like I'm a terrible person. I shouldn't treat myself like there are things, oh, God couldn't do that with me. God doesn't have that plan for me because I do this, or I've gotten that problem. I've done this poorly. I haven't excelled in this. I don't pray 12 hours a day, or I don't always raise my hands in worship, or sometimes when they're playing a song, I think to myself, I don't like that song, and God wouldn't approve of that, you know? So, but looking at ourselves after the Spirit, I don't want to see myself as any more than I am. I just want to see myself as he sees me. And I guarantee you that's a lot better than the way that I see me. You know, if I could just get a hold of his eyes, you know, Lord, give me new eyes. Give me new eyes to not regard anyone according to the flesh, even myself. Give me new eyes and a new mind to be able to really embrace that I'm in Christ, I'm a new creation. Anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. And old things have passed away, and it's not my job to impute trespasses to anyone. It's not my job. My job is to carry well, and this is where I'm getting into this word of reconciliation. My job, your job, is to carry what has been committed to us. So let's take a look at verse 20 and 21. Actually, 19, 20, and 21. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And so now we're ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. Whew, man. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And he's committed to us that word and that ministry of reconciliation. So now we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Oh my goodness. Whew. So he took his word in the form of his word and in the form of his son. He took his word and he laid that word down, and that word became a bridge for the lost to come into the kingdom, right? That word became a bridge for the hurting to have healing. That word became a bridge for those who are hopeless to have hope and to have a future. That word became the answer to every problem that we had created. That's what that word is. That word became a bridge from despair into an abundant and full life, full of glory, full of power, full of, most importantly, full of the love of the Father. That word became a bridge that took orphans and gave them family. My goodness. And what he did with that word is he committed it to us to steward and to carry. Which, as I say a lot, either shows a tremendous amount of love or a really poor judgment on his part. But he took that word of reconciliation. He took that ministry of reconciliation and he committed it to us. What does it mean that he committed it to us? It means that he trusted us with it and he empowered us to carry it. He trusted us with the role of carrying the heart of the Father. He trusted us with the role of reaching out to the hurting, to the broken, reaching out to the lost, reaching out to the people who are just floating around. People who are looking for family, looking for a father, looking for wholeness, looking for something to fill that void. He took that and he gave it to us. And he said, this is you. This is what I've called you to do in this world. This is what I've called you to do. Through the various things that you do, through the various jobs that you have, through the various desires of your heart, the different travels that you take, the different interactions that you have, all of those things I'm leading you through. And while you're busy doing those things, remember that I've committed to you this word of reconciliation. So wherever you go, there is a bridge to heaven. Wherever you go, wherever, every place your foot travels, he's given you that land. And there's a bridge. You are a bridge that people can walk across and get into a promise. And his word has to be carried the way that Jesus carried it into this new covenant that he shared with us. That word that we carry. You know, and sometimes I know, I feel like, man, I'm God, you're using me to be a bridge. You're using me to reveal light. You're using me to reveal the Father. And sometimes I think, God, I wouldn't use me right now. If I were you, that'd be a bad move. But when we're on our game, and my prayer for all of us is that we are on our game more than we're off it, right? When we're on our game, this word of reconciliation has to be carried the way that Jesus carried it into the new covenant that he entered into with us. It has to be, look at verse 14 really quickly. It has to be carried with the love of Christ compelling us. It has to be carried with the love of Christ compelling us. So what word are we becoming? We're becoming reconciliation. We're becoming that word that he committed to us so long ago. We're becoming that word and manifesting in the ministry of reconciliation as an outgrowth of that word that he trusted to us and empowered us to carry. Now, how do we become that word? We have to invite the love of Christ to compel our every action. We have to invite the love of Christ to get us up in the morning, wake us up to those new mercies every day. We have to invite the love of Christ to wash over our eyes, wash over our minds, wash over our ears, so that when I walk through my day, I'm not seeing people as I see them, I'm seeing them as the Lord sees them. Because if I see them as I see them, I'll tell you what their problems are, but those might not be their problems. If I see them as God sees them, he'll be able to tell me what the solution is, and I don't have to worry about the problem. There are no problems. I mean, when I think about it, according to God's perspective, yeah, that's not a problem. I got that. There's nothing too big for him, and nothing too small for him. Nothing he's not concerned about, nothing he's afraid to take on. So this word of reconciliation, this ministry of reconciliation that we are becoming has to be carried the way that Jesus carried it, has to be carried with love, has to be carried and fueled by the love of Christ compelling us, showing grace as we were shown grace, showing love as we were shown love, showing hope as it was offered to us, and giving an opportunity for rescue the same way that we were rescued. Oh, never let me get so high and mighty and so far. I'm asking you, like, take me down a peg. Never let me get so high and mighty that I forget that I was rescued. Never let me forget that. I mean, before I knew Jesus, I was still a good guy. I was still nice. I still did a lot of the same things that I do now. And, you know, I was basically the same person. But I needed to be rescued. I was heading down a path that was not going to be the fulfillment of what God had specifically designed me for when he made me. And never, ever, friends, family, please, never, ever let me get so far removed from the point where I realize, yeah, I was rescued. Because God was moved by love to not let me fall. He was moved by love to make sure that everything that he had planned for me had an opportunity to come to fruition. verses 20 and 21, now we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God himself were pleading through us. As though God himself were pleading through us. Becoming the Word means living a life that's so compelled by the love of Christ that God literally is pleading through you as you go through your day. That God is reaching out through you to touch. God is reaching out through you. God is speaking through you to declare. God is using your arms to hug people. One of the easiest spiritual activations ever, just hugging someone. My goodness. So I started getting excited and really getting a deeper hold of this revelation of what it means to become the Word. To become the Word. To become the Word. And that's the whole goal of all of this anyway, is to be changed, to become the thing that he's spoken to us to become. God has so many promises for you. He has so many promises for me, not only things he's laid out in Scripture, but things that he's spoken to your heart. Things that he's revealed to you, either through someone else, an encouraging word, or you were just minding your own business, and all of a sudden he gave you a glimpse of who he has you to be. My goodness, becoming the Word is the whole point of this. The whole point of joining ourselves to God is not just to be a part of a club that puts a cosmic seal of approval on all the stuff we decide we want to do. You know, I'm a Christian now, so... Yeah, I'm a little bit immune from some criticism for some things. That's not what this is about. It's not about putting God's stamp of approval on the life that I currently lead. It's about getting into a relationship with a Father who wants to transform us from the inside out so that our heart beats with his. Our mind sees and perceives the world the way that he does. Oh my goodness. It's becoming so aware of the presence. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. It's becoming so aware of the presence of God that your life is changed. And by your life, your nature is changed. And rather than just having good doctrine or a clever presentation of a word that causes somebody's mind to change, we become an example of a good Father who loves and a good King who leads that causes people's hearts to change. We're not in this to change people's minds about God. Because if I make a mental assent to something, then some other convincing argument comes around and I'm right back where I was before. But if I've had an experience, you cannot change my mind. We're not here to change people's minds. We're here to become the Word that God has spoken so that he can change people's hearts and he can use our life to do it. Amen? Amen. That's why we're here, and man, oh my gosh, and that's the revelation that God's got percolating in me right now about what it really means. And I know this is, you know, as with all things with the Lord, it's like, man, I really feel like I got it now, and tomorrow he'll open up a new door, and I'm like, oh wow, I didn't know that room was there. That's cool. Let's dive deeper down into this. But I'm telling you guys, I want to dive deeper down into this revelation, this process of becoming all the things that he's spoken with y'all. This is what he's called, not just somebody speaking this word. He's called all of us to this. He's called all of us to this. He's called all of us to become the thing that Jesus was on the earth. He's called all of this to become ministers of reconciliation. He's called all of us. He's committed to us this word. He's committed it to us. He's trusted us with it, and he's empowered us to carry it. And so, hey, stand up for just a second. I want to declare something over you, and then I want to, in a moment, I want for our ministry team folks to come up because I'm going to just issue, wow, it's a new day. We're doing an altar call? This is really weird, but good. So I want to declare this over you, all right, as we close here. I just want to declare this word over you that old things have passed away. I know I did this earlier. I'm going to do it again because if it's worth saying once, it's worth saying twice. You might not have been listening the first time. I declare over your life right now, just receive this. I declare that old things have passed away in your life and all things have already become new. And so I bless you. I bless your eyes. I bless your mind. I bless your ears. I bless all of the ways that you perceive this world. And I bless them to be changed and to be enlightened by the Holy Spirit, that you would perceive this world as our Father perceives this world. I bless you to perceive the people in this world the way that our Father has perceived them, the way that he's created them. And I bless you to be able to minister to them and minister with them through that lens and through that perspective. I declare over you new eyes, new eyes, new eyes, new eyes in Jesus' name. And if I could have our ministry team come up here to the front, I just want to just release it. I don't know if anybody is needing prayer right now, but specifically, if this is resonating in you and you are ready to make a stand, you're ready to make a change, you want for somebody to agree with you that God is going to really just drive this home in your life and open you up with new eyes, new perspective, new mindset on the world. And then I just release you to come forward and pray with somebody here. If you have any other prayer needs, if you need healing, if you need encouragement, whatever it is that you might have come in with, don't leave with it if it's bad, right? Whatever you came in with it, if it was dragging you down, get it off you before you leave. And I release you now to come up for prayer if you need it, and let's just worship God. Amen.